I did want to preach a New Year's type of message this morning have us kind of think about our life going forward. And so we are in the book of Psalm this morning, Psalm number 1. And we're going to cover the first verse this morning. So we're going to be talking about this morning the blessed man, the blessed man. Have you ever watched a show where someone starts walking down a dark alley? You know, the music always starts to get tense and suspenseful whenever anything possibly bad is going to start happen. How many of you, I know I did, but maybe some of you didn't, but I grew up on Saturday mornings watching cartoons. That's just what I did on Saturday mornings. We watched cartoons, and I watched a cartoon called Scooby-Doo. Scary, really scary cartoon. But as a child, I watched the cartoon Scooby-Doo, and there was a character called Shaggy. And Shaggy never wanted to go anywhere that was creepy. You know, he just like, well, no, let's turn around and go the other way. And of course, Scooby, maybe Scooby's why my first dog I ever purchased was a Great Dane. Maybe that's why my first dog I ever had myself was a Great Dane, because I like Scooby. I didn't like watching scary TV shows. As a young child, I watched about one. I was at my neighbor's house down the road, and they wanted to watch Frankenstein. And it got over late in the night. I forget how late we stayed. It was summer, and I forget how late we stayed. And we watched Frankenstein. And I had to walk home, and the corn was really tall by that time. And it was about a quarter mile home. And at that time, there was just corn on both sides of the road. I tell you what, Frankenstein was really real at that point, walking home. And at that point, I thought, why would anybody want to watch scary movies? It's just like, I didn't want to watch scary movies after that. Why would you want to scare yourself? Because you walk down the road, you keep telling yourself, Frankenstein is not real. Frankenstein is not real. But as the wind blows through the corn, you're like, but he could be right over there, you know. Or something else could be there. Shaggy and Scooby never wanted to go there. The gang would always want to walk down the dark alleys. And I'm more like Shaggy. I don't want to go there. I don't want to walk down the dark alley. What are they thinking when they walk down into the darkness? You know what my thought is? Don't go. Don't go. When they walk into the darkness, don't go. That's what Shaggy and Scooby was like. Rarely does anything nice happen when people go into dark alleys at night. I mean, that may be on TV and stuff. Maybe you can go into a dark alley at night normally and you're okay, but boy, on TV, nothing ever good happens in a dark alley at night. There are always bad guys waiting in the alleys. Psalm 1 is a passage that contrasts the life of the righteous and the ungodly, and throughout the psalm, both are contrasted and described, the godly and the ungodly. They're contrasted and described. The basic theme is that the godly person's life will be happy, fruitful, and he will one day stand in the judgment uncondemned with the righteous. On the contrasting side, the ungodly will live a life without the happiness only God himself can supply, and will eventually be condemned to eternal judgment. He'll blow away as the chaff. I do believe that within the psalm, there is a warning for believers not to live like the ungodly. We should not enter into their ways. While the Christian cannot be eternally condemned because of their sin, they can lose their happiness, be chastened by God, even to the point of sickness and death, and lose rewards in heaven. So this morning we're going to look at the first verse just this morning, and We're going to look at the blessed man and really what he doesn't do. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help me this morning as we go through this verse. Lord, help me to be clear in the things I present. I pray that your word, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, would work in hearts and lives. And Lord, if there's somebody here that started down the dark alley of in life, that they would recognize that and have a desire to change and turn about and to do what's right. I thank you for this time that we can spend looking in your word. I pray that you would help it to be profitable in each of our lives. Help us each to be obedient to whatever you might want to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this verse 1 is really the path that leads away from true happiness. Because the blessed man is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So the path that leads away from true happiness is shown in verse 1, in a sense. True happiness starts with salvation, of course. If you are here today and you're not saved, to be truly happy in your life, you must trust Jesus Christ. Because the happiness that the world brings, the happiness that you can find in the world, is limited and fleeting. And the rest of the chapter really talks about that idea, that that's limited and fleeting. This verse shows the progression of a person who starts down the dark alley in life. Let me say that again. This verse shows the progression of a person who starts down the dark alley in life. The path that is spoken of is that of an ungodly person. However, a Christian can start down this path as well. A Christian can go down this path. Whenever something bad is about to happen in a movie, we already talked about what happens, the tense music starts to play. The tense music that plays in the life, in our lives, is maybe a parent or a pastor or a godly friend that might be warning you. Maybe it's the sermon that warns you. And it's like there's something that you should be worried about. You might be here today and you're ignoring all those warnings. You're ignoring the scripture. You're ignoring the sermons. You're ignoring what your parents or godly friends might be warning you about. You're heading in a certain direction and you just ignore it. You always wonder, why do they, I mean, I don't watch horror movies, but I know enough about them that people do really dumb things. You know, in a horror movie, they go, it's like, oh, that guy's got a chainsaw. I saw something on a commercial or something. That guy's got a chainsaw and he's running at me. Oh, let's go. He's got to be wanting to help us, you know. No. No, he doesn't want to help you. He wants to kill you. And people often ignore, I think often people in life ignore the warnings. They ignore the clear warnings of Scripture. They ignore the clear warnings of a pastor. They ignore the clear warnings of parents, even though it's like, it's obvious that what you're doing is heading toward destruction. So the psalmist starts by telling us what not to do. What not to do if we want to have true happiness in life. Don't go there. If you want to have true happiness in life, just don't go there. What is the alley kind of that I'm using here that we're warning about? Well, there we're going to look at 3 degrees of departure from God. And happiness, really. 3 degrees of departure from God. And the first degree is getting acquainted with sinners. Verse number 1, blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The first step in leaving the church or walking away from God or godly family starts with an indoctrination. It really starts with an indoctrination. And this may come from friends. It could come from TV or radio, your school, music. It may start in your own heart with questions you have about God. Let me ask you, what are the influences in your life? What are the things that you spend a lot of time where information is being put into your head, whether through music. You know, the world is drunk on music. You go and anywhere, and somebody has to have their music, rock music, whatever, going 24/7. They get in their car and they turn it up. They get on their motorcycle and they turn it up. They get on their ATV. ATVs have to have speakers. Why do you need a speaker in your boat? I mean, I go in a boat to get out away from everything, and people put speakers in their boat so they can play their loud music. Well, people are drunk on the music of the world today. It's almost like they can't do anything without it. So what is influencing your life? What type of music are you listening to on a regular basis? And what types of things is that teaching you? What are the things that are influencing my thinking on a regular basis? What am I putting in to my mind on a regular basis? What people, programs, games, music are influencing my life? The happy person will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." The world is out there to entice you to ungodliness. The world is counseling you all the time. And how much of that are you letting soak into your mind on a daily basis through different avenues? Some people like to sit around and listen to the news all the time. You know what? Especially older folks, you know, you might sit around and listen to the news all the time. Often listening to the news all day is not a good thing for you. It's not a good thing because somebody is trying to indoctrinate you. News today is not telling you the news. News today is indoctrination. So I'm not saying you should never look at the news, but realize that they are indoctrinating you. Either way, they are trying to indoctrinate you. Where do we get our doctrine from? The Word of God. So where should we be spending a lot of time soaking up the Word of God? We need to spend more time soaking up the Word of God, because that's where we're going to get our right indoctrination from, the Word of God. And I fear that many of us are spending way more time being indoctrinated by other things. I think even on an unconscious basis, we are often, we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, unconsciously. At this point, the person is probably just experimenting with worldliness and ungodliness, and like say, maybe unconsciously. It could be a teenager that listens to rock music or country music, and most of those things, I was a young person, I listened to rock music, and I know the themes that are in rock music. And the themes are not godly. The themes are resonating an ungodly theme. And much of country music is doing the same thing. It's ungodliness. And if you're listening to that hours a day, you are listening to the counsel of the ungodly. It might be TV or movies that are filled with sinful content or counsel. It might be new friends or old friends that are introducing new sinful attitudes or activities. Whatever it might be, this is kind of a time of exploration as you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. This person, in this point of departure in the alley, is just getting acquainted with sin and sinners. They're being indoctrinated. They're starting to listen to what they know they shouldn't. And for whatever reason, it's interesting to them. You might say he's testing the waters of sin. What does the psalm say? Don't go. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't do it. Young people, this is especially something that you have to be very careful about. Who is indoctrinating you? Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." Let me say that again. Proverbs 19:27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." You know, their counsel may seem exciting. That direction may seem like it's fun, but it will lead to ruin. Well, what's the second degree of departure? Second degree of departure here is hanging out with sinners. It says, "Walk not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners." Standing in the way of sinners. In the first degree of departure, the person is just looking and inspecting, listening. You might say this person is dabbling in sin. In the second degree, this person likes what they see and moves from deciding more to decided. I've listened to this and I like it and I'm moving in that direction. I'm not just hanging out at the entrance of the alley. I've kind of moved into the alley. He may still attend church services. However, he will be increasingly become uncomfortable, especially in a conservative Bible-believing church. Many will at this time will look for churches that are more tolerant. And they would consider, you know, well, this church doesn't make me feel guilty. Have you ever talked to somebody who says, well, I go to this church because they don't make me ever feel guilty. I always feel good when I leave. Well, you know what? You can feel good when you leave. When God points something out in your life and you confess it and you're right with God and say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to see where I'm not like you. And when that's pointed out and you confess it, you can leave happy. What that person is talking about, though, I don't like being convicted of my sin when I go to church, and I don't want to go to a church that ever really convicts me. They don't point things out that might be sin. Probably church is starting to have less and less priority in this person's life. New, more accepting friends will take the place of those who take a strong stand for the word of truth. Proverbs 30:12, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." They are now standing in the way of sinners. Sin is now becoming a way of life in this person's life. Many things about this person's life are now reflecting their new world view. They've moved into the alley, and in that alley, they have a different perspective, a new view on life. And it's coming from all the counsel that they've been getting. All the maybe young friends that they're listening to, you know, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, but probably not often in a multitude of 16-year-olds. You know, there might be godly 16-year-olds, but in a multitude of 16-year-olds, maybe get some counsel for some older people as well. But many things in this person's life are now reflecting their new world view from their alley view, which is restrained and not at all about what God would want. Their life is starting to resemble the world. Their dress is probably changing. You will probably notice that there are new words in their vocabulary. Attitudes, especially with authority, will start to change, especially any authority that is related to the church. They are uncomfortable around their pastor or other Christians who take a stand for the truth. New worldly activities are starting to creep into this person's life. And possibly even views about creation, Bible authority, or other truths are changing in this person's life. If you listen to the counsel of the godly, it will lead you away from God. The warning, don't go, has been ignored. They are now standing with sinners. They've ignored the warning and they're progressing toward ungodliness. They are now hanging out in the alley. And there's a third degree of departure as well. A third degree of departure as well. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And this I would call selling yourself to sin. They're sitting in the seat of the scornful. They're selling themselves to sin. It may take years to get to this point, but is the logical progression of a person who rejects God's truth. You may have seen people that have rejected God's truth and their life progressively goes downward in a progression. Some may never get to this position, although it is the logical outcome of rejecting God and His Word. Not everybody gets to the point where they're scornful. The mocking type of person. Not every person gets all the way there. This might describe a believer who has allowed bitterness to consume their life. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and many be defiled. If this is a believer, it would be hard to tell their testimony between them and an unbeliever. If this is truly a believer, and I don't know if a believer for sure can get here, but it would be hard to tell. You would be like, this person needs to be saved, or you'd think this person might need to be saved. This probably better describes the eventual position of those who have sold themselves to sin. They've completely sold themselves to sin. This person probably does not believe in God and would look at all those who do with contempt. They are mockers. They're scorned. That's the idea of scorn. They're mockers. And they mock God. And they mock those who believe in God. You've probably met somebody like that before, that just mock anything to do with the Word of God. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in their thoughts. They will not seek God. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. This person is normally liberal in their beliefs. This often describes children who were brought up in godly homes who have totally rejected the truth of Scripture. You might have seen somebody like this. I know of multiple young people who were brought up in very godly homes. And when they're brought up in godly homes and they totally reject Scripture, they often go quickly to the scornful. Because they know the truth and they've rejected the truth. They've rejected Scripture. They don't start here, but they progress to this position. Often they have ungodly influences in their lives. Even in Bible college or even seminary, I've seen people connect up with the wrong person. You know, there are ungodly people that give ungodly counsel even in Bible colleges. And there are young people that link up with this ungodly person and they steer their thinking a different way. And they end up being scornful, mocking people to the truth. So they have ungodly influences that they listen to that counsel. And then they start listening to it and it leads them in that direction. And then they start hanging around with those people and before long they become mockers just like they are. They'll often change their views on key beliefs drastically. And by the time they get to this position, a scorner, they will often say things that will be shocking to those around them. I've seen young people that grew up in very godly homes, and as they turn their back on God, and they turn their back on their parents, and they turn their back on the Word of God, I've seen them say things, it's like, I can't believe such awful, vile things are coming out of their mouth. It's really a picture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1 for a minute. Hold your finger here and turn to Romans chapter 1. It's really a picture of Romans chapter 1. You know, this is a scary progression. Probably most people who start down the dark alley don't think they're going to get here. They just listen to the counsel of some friends and it sounds kind of good, it sounds kind of fun, and they start down there, but they never probably think that they're going to get to the position of being in a scorner, but it's the logical progression of those who go down that path. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 23, these are very familiar verses probably for most of you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they understand the truth, but they suppress it. These young people have grown up in godly homes, and they've heard the truth, but they've suppressed it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Even God in his creation proves to them that he is God, and they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'll just stop there. We talked about this verse a few weeks ago on Sunday night. Because that when they knew God, you know, everyone here has enough information to be in this position that you know God. You know who we are talking about. You know who we're preaching about. But they didn't give him glory as God. They did not give God the glory that he deserves. Neither were they thankful. An unthankful heart. That's something that I thought about the last time we went through that. That even unthankfulness for all that God has done for us. But they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. They're to that point of being scorners, professing themselves to be wise. They become fools. Everything that they're now comes out of their mouth is counsel of the ungodly. They're saying they're wise in the ways of the world, but they're fools. And they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And we could go on and read the rest of the chapter. I'm not going to take the time to do that. But this is really a picture of those who understand the truth and they reject it. And when they reject that truth and they head down that dark alley, bad things happen. It describes many of today's liberal news personalities. It describes many of today's celebrities. It describes many of today's professional athletes. It describes those in politics who want to destroy our Christian heritage and are pushing for all these alternate lifestyles. They're all scorners. They're all mockers. How did they get here? How did people get to this point of being scorners? They start all the way back with just listening to the counsel of the ungodly. It's not like most young people from Christian homes wake up one day and say, I want to be a scorner. I want to be one who mocks God and mocks my parents for their beliefs. You don't decide in one day to forsake the church and to become a scornful person. This position normally comes from years of rejecting God's truth. Every time you come to church and you reject, if the word of God is preached and it's truth and you reject that, in a sense it's like listening to the counsel of the ungodly. It's like saying, no, that's not for me. Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 15:17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. You know, Jeremiah, he had to sit alone. He wouldn't spend time with the mockers. Sometimes you might have to sit alone. You might have to feel like, I'm the only one, but I'm just going to sit alone because I'm not going to sit with those people who are mockers. Let me ask you some questions this morning. Is there any area in your life where you are accepting the counsel of the ungodly. That is something that it takes a large portion of your day where you're accepting that into your mind. Have you started to walk down the dark alley in your life, even though you know you should not? Is there anything in your life like, I know that I'm doing this, and I know it's heading in the wrong direction, but I just kind of want to go further down. I don't think it's going to hurt me to go a little further down the alley. And it's not just young people who depart from the truth. I've been thinking about this more in my life as I get older, and there are a lot of older men in Scripture that ended up making mess of their lives later in their life. So, folks, this is a message that I'm preaching to young people, but there's a lot of examples in the Scripture of older men who made a mess of their life later in their life. So it's not just for young people. People at any age can start down the alley. The Christian who walks down this alley will lose happiness and contentment. For the ungodly unbeliever, the future holds eternal judgment in hell. Let me ask you, are you somewhere on the path? Are you somewhere walking down the alley? Are you just listening to ungodly people? Is there some influence in your life that continues to be there that you know is not right? Are there sins that you've allowed into your life that you know are not consistent with biblical truth? Maybe you're at the point where you're questioning the truths that you've been taught from the Scripture. Maybe you're at the point that you're just kind of questioning those things. Friends tell you that that's not the way it is. If you have, you're on a dangerous path. I have some advice for everybody. Don't go there. Don't go. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, what everybody's really looking for is happiness. How many of you want to be happy in life? Yeah, we do, don't we? We look in the wrong places. We look for happiness in the wrong places. We're deceived often into thinking that happiness is found outside of the truth of God's Word. And it's found when we don't do those things. Some of you young people, you're looking for happiness in the wrong places. It's found, happiness is found in knowing more of God's Word and following what God's Word has to say. That's what's going to bring. Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, I pray that you'd help us today to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the sin with sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But Lord, help our delight to be in your word. I pray that we would reject the things maybe some of us have been spending hours a day soaking in the counsel of the world in different means. And Lord, I know that that takes us down an alley that is not good. And Lord, maybe we'll end up, because of those things, we'll end up in places that we never thought we would be. Lord, I pray that for those who are here that have started down that alley, and Lord, you are convicting maybe some today of some area in their life where they have started down that alley and they know that what they're doing is wrong. They know where it's leading, especially today after the message they can see the progression in life. I ask, Lord, that you would help people to confess those sins today, to take steps to change the direction of their life, take steps to that would lead to godliness. Lord, to spend more time in your word than in these other things. Lord, I pray that if you are convicting, which I believe you are, the word has gone forth, I pray for obedient hearts this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. And I don't often ask people to come forward. But as we sing the song, keep your heads bowed as we sing the song. And if God is working in your heart, I just challenge you to come forward. You can do it there in your seat, but I think there is something at times to being humble and at least admitting to everybody around us, you know what, I'm not perfect and I need help. I sin just like everybody else, and sometimes I think it's helpful just humble ourselves and come down and bow before God and just ask for his help, ask for his forgiveness. So we're going to have Pastor Josh is going to come and lead us in an invitation song. I am calling for an altar call for those who would feel like God is just asking me to confess something and to say, I'm going to work at changing that.